They say everybody's good at something. Me? I talk to fish. That's how I met my friend Storm. He's always there when I need a lift. Some people think that makes me a joke, but I don't care. You know why? Because I'm also good at something else. And that's breaking heads.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
This is Cheap Seat Reviews.
And thank you for listening to Cheap Seat Reviews, the podcast that explores the Hollywood film industry for the greater good. So either they can't hear me, or we're frozen.
Now I can hear you.
I got total dead. Didn't we have this issue last week?
Yes, this is the same issue we had last week.
Oh, well, I'm glad I fixed it then.
So, I mean, like, I sort of heard the opening.
So
but
when
then
the music
you
is playing, you
there.
Can't hear
Did
me
you do
at
the,
all.
Was I supposed to say the greater good?
Yes.
Oh, the greater good.
So, yes, yeah, last week I missed it too.
All right, so what I'm understanding is that when the music is playing, you can't hear me at all.
Right.
Interesting. No. All right, so I'm going to have to start.
And it also when one of us talks, your sound immediately goes down. It's something with your floor level.
Floor.
It's yeah. Got to be the setting in StreamYard then.
It's through StreamYard, yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is that StreamYard only offers two options, really. Echo cancellation, reduce mic background noise, and automatically adjust mic volume, which I don't want. That's it. That's all it does. So I have no other options other than that. So maybe
so the automatic adjust microphone level wasn't checked.
No, I never have that checked because that's what I want. I want control over that. So they probably added that stupid feature in to make you pay for their updated, like their prime version, so you have more controls. Huh. Well, okay. With all that being said, hey guys, welcome to Cheap Seat Reviews, the podcast that explores the Hollywood film industry for the greater good. There we go. I knew there was going to be some kind of water theme there.
You have to.
Yeah, I'll just have to change it out to the intro. It's fine. We'll make it work. This is episode 469, and tonight we're talking about Aquaman 2. That's right. We are in the beginnings of DC March, the march to DC, not District of Columbia, but Detective Comics. We are exploring the DC extended universe for the greater good. So here we are,
whether you like it or not.
That's right. These guys have finally said, you know what, Sean, we're tired of you complaining about DC movies. We're going to make you watch the fun ones that have come out recently. Maybe you never said that, but you know, the list that we have included, I think you all have said, you guys, you should like this one. Like, everyone is like, oh yeah, Shazam 2. Sean, you like that a little bit. And Blue Beetle, yeah, you'll like that. So, we'll see how.
Yeah, that was not said about this movie.
We were supposed to do originally The Batman. And then when this became streaming, Andrew, you said, well, let's do this because none of us had seen it yet.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And I think we had already, all of us had already seen The Batman. So,
right.
And I think actually this is an appropriate movie for this month because they all feel kind of like, well, so, I mean, I don't know, but like based off of what I've seen, they're all kind of feel like this movie, like more Marvel-y than the DC, you know, light and with quips and jokes and things. So we'll see. Anyway, with that all having been said, I am Sean Allred, your host, your sea captain, your sea king. And joining me tonight is Andrew. Holy bad CGI Kidman face, Jimison.
Does that, if you're the Sea King, does that make us seamen?
Yes, you are my seamen, and I am the Sea King.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, no, gross.
Yeah, it's nasty.
That's all right. And Sam.
What?
The underwater scenes from Harry Potter 4 looked better than this movie, Vector.
Yeah, I am not sure what's going on with DC and their CGI department. Pretty bad, as far as I can tell lately.
It's rough.
With the new stuff. But Sean, if I was going to kill you in any way, shape, or form in this movie, I would definitely feed you to a carnivorous grasshopper.
Oh, a giant locust that apparently eat rats?
I thought you were going to say you're just going to make him watch this movie again.
Well, that too. I mean, we certainly could do that.
Nice. That's funny. We'll see. We'll see how things land on this, because just off of those kind of few comments, I can kind of tell that Andrew loved this film. So we'll see. And now that Sam's face is receded into his background, I can actually see what your background is. That's really funny and mean at the same time. Oh, that's great. All right.
I don't know if anybody else grew up in the 80s in Florida, but we had to definitely cut our six packs to make sure that the turtles didn't choke.
Yeah.
So
we did it.
Or
we did
apparently
too.
Aquaman.
We did too. In fact, about 5 or 6 years ago, we were with my parents, and my wife, Sarah, was doing that same thing. She was cutting the rings. And my mom says, "What are you doing?" And she said, "This is something that my generation was you know, ingrained in us, that we have to do this to save the fish." Because
we don't want the ducks to get them caught around there.
Somehow, these things always end up in the ocean, and they are bad. So, I just love how he's like handcuffed in that photo. It's all right. So let's pull up a giant sea couch and let's dive into this movie. And dive again is an appropriate word there. Aquaman 2. I did see the first Aquaman movie.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I liked it okay. It was fine. It was. We've all had many conversations about how DC kind of did things backwards, right? Like they gave us Superman, and then the next film was Superman versus Batman, right? Like we don't have any kind of intro to Batman. He's not related to the Dark Knight. This is a totally different this is a Batman that's been doing it for 20 years, that's already had Robin a part of his life, and then was murdered by the Joker. Like that's all happened. And so then we get that one, and then the next movie is the big Justice League team up, and then they start parsing out individual movies, which was I think Wonder Woman was in there too.
Yeah, it was in there somewhere.
Somewhere, I can't remember if it was before Justice League or after.
It was before.
Yeah. Okay, it was before. Okay, but they didn't do like what Marvel did. Marvel said, "Hey, we're going to do a bunch of individual movies and then do our team up." So anyway,
they didn't make us care about the characters first before Justice League.
Yeah. Yeah.
They depended on the fact that a lot of people already know them and we already care about them.
That's true. And maybe that is more true because, you know, like none of us knew much. I mean, did we know anything about Iron Man? You know, like not really.
Not really, no.
You know, like, he was like a tertiary character in Marvel, and all of a sudden now he's one of the biggest stars in the world, so. Anyway, let's dive into this movie. So, five-word reviews, Andrew. Well, first, tell us, what is Aquaman 2?
Well, Black Manta seeks revenge on Aquaman for his father's death. Wielding the Black Trident's power, he becomes a formidable foe. To defend Atlantis, Aquaman forges an alliance with his imprisoned brother. they must protect the kingdom. And that's very choppy. I don't know who wrote that, but it doesn't flow very well. Obviously, the people that wrote that were the same people that wrote the dialogue for this movie.
Yeah. Oh!
Sorry.
You're not wrong, buddy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there it is. Now we can dive into the five-word reviews.
Yeah, let's do some five-word reviews. Sam, you go first.
All right, I only have one on this one today, and let me pull it up here. And that is Wild Wild West meets SpongeBob. This movie, I liked the first Aquaman. I enjoyed it. It introduced us to an interesting world. It had different aspects of it that was fun. There felt like there were stakes. This movie felt like one long headache fight scene / really bad TV movie, daytime TV show. It's really hard to describe how bad this movie was to me. The writing is atrocious in here. The directorial choices that Juan does when he's doling out narrative and doling out exposition is blundering and brutally, you know, it treats us like idiots. Yeah. The CGI is laughably bad in a lot of parts of this. You know, when the hair is so distracting that you can't take the character seriously, it's bad. Jason Momoa, thank you. Jason Momoa, yeah, I don't want to anger that guy. It feels totally out of place in this movie. I don't know exactly what he was trying to do with the character. You know, you've got Batman who broods, right? You've got Superman who's Clark Kent, the all-around good guy. You've got the quirky little Flash. And Aquaman, is he supposed to be the comic relief? I don't understand what it was. Just dumb. And this whole movie, where was there any time in this movie where you felt like he was in danger? I certainly didn't feel like it. All right, he's overpowered in this thing. You never felt like he was going to lose the day. You know, they go from tossing or pushing over a trillion ton stone statue to having a hard time swinging a chain. You know, it's I didn't understand his powers. I didn't understand what he could take in terms of, you know, what could have killed him. You know, is he Superman? You know, is he completely capable of withstanding all attacks? It just, there was no stakes here, folks. And the music was bad because it just kept going. There was no time to breathe in this movie. There was no time for character development. There was no time to really get to know any of the characters. The scientist guy was dumb. You know, even the baby, I hope you guys noticed when the Lost Kingdom was collapsing all around them, you know, Aquaman could care less about his baby and his wife, right? He totally leaves them behind as he's swimming out of it. Meanwhile, she's, you know, she's dealing with the baby in a whole nother point. I'm just so frustrated with this movie because I just spent, was it 2.5 hours?
It's just over 2 hours.
Comically bad DC movie. This, to me, is probably the worst one I've seen yet.
Oh.
Yeah?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It makes me angry because there are things I've trashed it. I've pretty much kicked the dog while it's down here. There are some aspects of this Aquaman that could have been really cool. I love the design. I love the retro 50s style machinery that Mantis has. Yeah, that steampunk look.
Yeah.
But that's where I got the Wild Wild West from. You know, that whole hammerhead sub kind of reminded me of the giant spider a wee bit. And but I just they beat you over the head with the global warming thing. And you guys know, I'm not one of these, you know, anti-woke, all that sort of stupid stuff. Come on. You know, it was a little much. Just a little much.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's pretty much my review of this movie is don't waste your time. This is bad.
So you mentioned the director and the directorial choices and stuff. So the director is James Wan, who you you mentioned. If that name sounds familiar, that's because he did Saw, and then Insidious, The Conjuring, Insidious 2, and then a couple of the Fast and Furious movies, The Conjuring 2, Aquaman, Malignant, and Aquaman 2. And we've seen the two Conjuring movies, and did we do Saw for the podcast? I know I've seen it, but I don't know if we did it for the show. Oh,
yeah.
I can't remember.
I've seen it a bunch,
So those movies, Saw and the two Conjuring movies, are heavy dialogue, right? It's all about...
And there were some clunky parts in those, but they weren't overtly clunky.
No, you're not wrong. I don't remember Saw being really all that clunky. I remember kind of being on the edge of my seat with Saw kind of the whole time. And same thing with The Conjuring. Like the first Conjuring had some really good scary moments, but it's a slow burn. It's a slow build.
Yep.
And this movie is certainly not that. But you can't really have a slow burn with a comic book movie. I mean, The Batman, I guess, has a little bit of a slow burn. I mean, even like The Dark Knight has like slow burn moments, but then the stove gets kicked on pretty high for some scenes too. So, I think I'll fight you though, Sam, on worst DC movie. Now I assume you mean DCEU movies.
Okay. Yeah.
Or are you saying all the ones, of DC? Yeah. Because I'm gonna assume we're gonna stick to the 13 whatever the DCEU movies, which now are officially done. Like they're done. This being the last one, which seems like a waste, I guess, a little bit. I don't know. Not everything.
They fumbled the ball.
I mean, and not everything is gonna have to. It has to be a 20-something film franchise like the MCU, right? Like that might be a little unfair, but and I'm just gonna run down them real quick just for people listening that aren't DCEU, DC Detective Comics EU Extended Universe, just to where we're all there. Started with Man of Steel, and then Batman vs Superman, Suicide Squad, the first one with Will Smith, Wonder Woman, Justice League, Aquaman, Shazam, Birds of Prey, Wonder Woman 2, Zack Snyder's Justice League, The Suicide Squad, Black Adam, Shazam 2, The Flash, Blue Beetle, and Aquaman 2. So I would argue the first Suicide Squad and Wonder Woman 2 are worse movies than this.
Oh, no.
In my opinion.
No.
I disagree.
I'd watch those any day before this.
Yep.
Yeah. See, they
at least have more of a story to it. They've got. Yeah.
Oh.
No.
I disagree. For me, I haven't done my five order and I haven't really talked about this movie yet, but I would rather watch this again than any of Wonder Woman 2. I dislike that movie. So the plane scene alone in Wonder Woman 2 makes this movie, it elevates this movie, in my opinion. But that's just me, and that's fine. Andrew, what you got?
I've got two five-word reviews. The first one is, some things are better left unseen. And
that's pretty good.
The second one is, this movie is not good. that's my review. I have to wholeheartedly agree with Sam. This, in my opinion, is the worst DCEU movie out there. I feel like it was all over the place. I watched this in two halves. I watched about an hour of it, until he releases his brother, and they and it's time for the buddy cop team up segment of the movie. And then I watched the other half. And honestly, the second half was a little bit better than the first. But when I say a little better, I mean a little better. Martin Short, I mean, I feel like we're phoning in things in this movie a lot. And we've mentioned the CGI. When we saw The Flash, there was bad CGI in that movie. And they said that it was done that way on purpose.
It was a directorial decision. Yeah.
Right. To make it seem more dreamlike or whatever.
No.
And I didn't buy it then. But this is bad CGI. I mean, just all over the place. And it seemed like video game-esque in some cases. Yep. And I mean, I understand that you're not going to get somebody on a giant seahorse flying through the sky. That's not going to happen without CGI. But something has to happen to make this more tolerable. I don't know. But even for me, even the steampunk type, you know, equipment that they find. First of all, I don't like how we just happened upon all this technology and we got it to work. It's good. And now we understand how to use it all. And, you know, it's just like the makeup of it as well, like the bridge of the hammerhead shark submarine. There's one chair in the middle and it was the empty space. It's like a warehouse.
It was the largest
on
bridge
either side
in the history. Like there are boats smaller than that bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean like submarines, like Navy aircraft. Yeah. It was huge.
You know, and I don't know. I just felt like it's all over the place. Dolph Lundgren.
No.
He is not a good actor in this movie. And his CGI, you mentioned Nicole Kidman. His is, I think, worse than hers. And the suits here, I think back to Ryan Reynolds in the Green Lantern movie. The suits that they're wearing, all of them are CGI for the most part, especially when they're underwater. I mean, there are some practical suits that they're wearing at some points, but a lot of them are CGI and they're terrible. I mean, there's not much redeeming quality. There were a few moments. I won't even say I chuckled, but there was a few moments where I grinned a little bit at some funny things, funny-ish things. And, you know, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. I really liked the first Aquaman movie. That it told
it was, more, it was an adventure, right? It was
yeah. And but this one, it just, I don't know, it felt like we made a sequel just to make a sequel.
It didn't go anywhere.
It didn't.
What character arc did we see in this?
Well, the brother. The brother has a character arc.
If you think back to the first Aquaman, I don't see him being a redeemable character, like coming back from where he was before,
where
and
he
all
was.
Of a sudden,
yeah,
in this movie, they're best friends.
Refined. Yeah.
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 And there's wasted characters in this movie. There are too many characters so that you don't like the little squid thing, the whatever they call it, the octopus guy.
Topo.
Right.
Topo.
Yeah. Yeah. He could have been used as
He would have been great.
Some more comic relief,
yeah,
and could have been used as, you know, a kind of a super dog or some sort of, like, you know, some sort of pet with superpowers that could help, or not even superpowers, but technology that he could fight with. I don't know. It just, there's so many things in this that I felt like they got wrong. I just couldn't enjoy it.
Forced. A lot of it felt absolutely forced. And
yeah.
you know, I was just looking through funny pictures of Aquaman, and you know, I see the cockroach. That's not even funny. It's just dumb. And the scene in the credits was just dumb.
It was a gag, right? It's a brother playing a prank on a brother that's naive. Hey, we eat cockroaches, yeah. And he eats it. Oh, it's not bad. And you know, like that part grossed out my wife, and she's like, "Oh my god, did he eat it?" And I said, "Yeah." And, you know, but it was just a big dumb CGI cockroach. So like, I don't even know why it bothered her, because it looked dumb in CGI, the cockroach. Because cockroaches aren't the size of my hand. Well, maybe not. Maybe they are in Florida, but you know, like, I don't know. Okay. My turn, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So I did 2 5-word reviews, though. I think. One of them's actually 6 words, so I'm actually taking from Andrew's. So my second, my first one is Momoa is a cool dude. I think Jason Momoa is just a cool dude. And halfway through the movie, I realized that basically it felt like James Wan said, "Hey, just be Robert Downey Jr." Yeah. You know, there's because he does a lot of pop culture references, which is what, you know, Tony Stark does, you know, calls Thor Point Break, and you know, like there's like those little quips throughout the movie. Like he's quipping the whole movie, but it's a way, they're wasted quips because they're on Patrick Wilson, the brother Orm, who doesn't understand any of them, any of the references. So they're kind of wasted, but
yeah,
I mean, like there's one where he says, "Yeah, come on, beer and tacos," and he's like, "I don't know what those words mean." And like, I guess that's the joke, because he's literally a fish out of water.
Yeah.
But my other one was a pretty mess of CGI and acting. And what I mean by that is
that it was.
The movie is visually pretty, right? There's a lot of pretty colors. You have a really pretty actor in Jason Momoa. Amber Heard, for all her insaneness as a human, is a beautiful woman. But it's also a mess. She's a terrible actress. I mean, she's not good in this at all. She's not believable. As a mother, she is completely unbelievable as a mom in this. I believe Jason Momoa as a dad way more than him. And especially Boba Fett there. You know, I thought he was fine. Honestly, he's probably one of the better actors in the movie.
But when they give him exposition, when they're sitting on the couch at the beginning of the movie talking, that is painful. That is literally painful to watch.
Yeah, I didn't bother me. I in fact, here's the problem though, is I don't even remember the scene, because you saying that, I'm trying to remember them ever talking on the couch. Like, I don't remember.
Yeah.
So obviously that's not very good, because I don't remember the scene, and I watched this less than 24 hours ago.
You want to know some of the worst CGI? And because we're talking about, well, you're not really talking about CGI here, but I saw the picture and it just triggered me. Where he's chained, the brother is chained, and he stands up, and these chains and his body, it's all CGI. It's awful. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah,
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, for me,
that just was triggered.
The worst CGI moment for me is, and I don't remember where it was in the movie, but there's a scene where Nicole Kidman she's talking, she's delivering dialogue. And I guess they had to CGI her face because Nicole Kidman is in like her 60s now, right? She's like 60 something.
I think she's had some work done. I think
she
that's
has had
seeing,
work yeah. done.
No, she definitely has.
She has work done, which is fine, but like she's still 60. But the mom is supposed to be immortal, right? She's supposed to look the exact same as she did in the first movie. And instead of just letting her be her normal self and we just accept it as she's an actress, of course she's going to look different. They CGI'd her face, and there's a couple of moments where her face like elongates. And there's this one scene where she's talking and she looks like a dude, because she has like a square jawline and her chin has like squared off. I mean, it was like Clone Wars cartoon moment where I was like, oh, that's I'm talking to Anakin Skywalker with blonde hair. Like there was a couple moments like that where I thought, what is happening? Like Leia from Rogue One looks flawless compared to what was happening. And I remember was both all of us kind of saying like, eh, it was a little janky. This was bad. But I didn't hate this movie.
Oh my gosh. This is not what I expected tonight.
I didn't hate this movie.
I expected Sean to jump on board with this thing.
No, don't get me wrong.
And I expected to defend this thing.
No, I think this movie is bad. I really do think this is a bad movie. I think I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. What Marvel figured out was what you do is you pick a genre, right? You pick a genre and then you build the superhero around it, right? Best example, Captain America Civil War. It's a spy movie. It's all it is.
Yep.
It's a spy thriller. And then you add in the stuff, right? Iron Man is a redemption story. He gets kidnapped and it's just kind of a redemption story. And then you add in the suits, right? You can pick any of the other ones. You know, the Guardians is just a space opera. It's just Star Wars, right? It's just a space opera. But this movie doesn't know what it is the problem, right?
No.
It's a revenge story, but it's also a buddy cop. And also the fish out of water trope, and also
a guy learning to be a dad.
A little bit about that, yeah. I'm trying to think. We have those tropes. There's a lot of tropes. Yeah, the dad, being a dad trope. The like you mentioned, the tech that's 4,000 years old, and Randall Park says in one throwaway line of dialogue, "I was able to make it all work with just a couple modifications." What? Like, I feel like that, like in modern, like I feel like if we as a society found tech that was 1,000 years old, it would take us longer than a couple of weeks to make it work.
Right.
You know, I just, anyway, but it's movies to come book. You need the bad guys need to have whatever. So the movie never really settles into what it's supposed to be. It is very frenetic. You know, we have the escape scene. We have, we have a Popeye moment where he touches water and all of a sudden he's big, strong, muscly Patrick Wilson, Patrick Wilson, man, he was in good shape. So good for him. We have the CD bar, casino place that we have to go to, and have a big fight there. So like this movie is just nothing but tropes. And they bothered me, sure, because it felt lazy and just kind of cheesy, and it was incredibly predictable. And to your point, Sam, there's no stakes because, like in the first Aquaman gets his ass kicked because he's not used to fighting underwater, and Patrick Wilson was born there. Like he gets his butt kicked and he has to go and like train or something, right? But in this movie, even though the bad guy is better equipped, he never really loses. The only person that any threat to is Amber Heard when she gets hit by the laser, but then they just put some seaweed on her and she's fine. Right. You know, like I'm saying, it's not like she is out of the movie, you know, or whatever. And there's so many ex machinas in this movie. I mean, she shows up right as the thing's about to come down, the baby's about to get stabbed, and then the trident comes and knocks the blade out. I mean, there's like five moments of this in this movie where like, oh no, something's bad about to happen, and you just know as the audience like something's going to happen in the nick of time, because why not? Like if you know this is the last of the DCEU movies, then give us something, right? Like, let's have some stakes. Yeah. I mean, even the dad doesn't die.
Right. And I kind of thought maybe they would let him die.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, okay, there's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of stakes here, but
No, like that's fine. The only emotion I felt at all in the movie was there was kind of a neat moment when the baby does the call to the dad. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, cool. We're going to get this kind of like Papa Bear moment. And we kind of did, and it was fine. But anyway, and also because the movie is so ridiculous and crazy and frenetic, that last scene, you know, where they're Mantis walks into the room and he needs the blood of one of the whatever, and he's got the baby, and then Randall Park hands him the bomb. For like 5 minutes of that scene, my wife and I couldn't figure out if they were underwater or not. Because there's shit floating in the air.
Yeah.
Like, I guess it's snow. She's like, why? How is there fire underwater? And then they show, you know, Randall Park, and I'm like, are they underwater? Like, I'm confused. But then there's a scene, and then they're fighting, and then Momoa's hair is flowing. Like, what is happening? Like, the movie can't even establish, because they never show us going from water to not water.
Yep.
So, like, you don't even establish that. So I was confused. Supposed to be confused.
I think I found your picture of Nicole Kidman. So if you go to the IMDb pictures,
yes,
you look at 179 out of 250.
All right. I will do this thing that you suggest.
Her hair is CGI. Her crown is CGI. And because of that, her face looks really weird. I think maybe that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's a good example. Yeah, that picture is frightening.
It is. I mean, it looks nothing like her.
No.
Her face is it looks elongated because of the CGI crown.
Yeah. I think it's because of her mouth is CGI too. That doesn't look like her mouth. Like, I'm telling you, that's Justice League Bat Superman weird mouth stuff happening. If you guys remember that bit. Like, it doesn't look like Nicole Kidman. I'm serious. Like, if I listening audience, you have to do this. Go to the IMDb, pull your phone out, whatever. Go to IMDb. You hit the photo of the logo. What am I trying to say? The poster, the movie poster. You just click that. That's where you get the photos, and then just navigate to 179 of 250. That doesn't look like Nicole Kidman. I don't know who it does look like, but it's not her. It's awful. That's not the scene, but it's something similar to that. It just is so janky. Ugh, I can't look at it anymore. That's just so weird.
She looks like a man.
She does. I mean, it's a man.
If you put your hand, I'm doing this on my screen right now, over the hair and the crown, and just focus on the eyes, nose, and mouth.
Yeah.
That's
it almost looks like William Dafoe or something. Willem Dafoe. Or
yeah.
Like, seriously.
With makeup on. Like, I could see it.
It's so janky. I don't know why they did that to her. She should sue somebody.
Yeah.
For making her look like that.
Plastic surgeon.
One of the other, I don't think that's plastic surgery. I really don't. I mean,
she's had work done.
She has had work done. But, I'm not saying she hasn't.
Yeah. But you're right. This is just bad all over.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find recent pictures. Let me see if someone's in front of me. All right, so I found a couple of recent photos of her. And yeah, she's had work done. And it doesn't look great. But it's not that bad. Of course, this one photo I found is ooh.
Maybe one thing misunderstood or why does Aquaman choose a seahorse to be his stallion? Because they are really poor swimmers.
Right.
You have to ask the creators of the comics, I guess. I
mean, not to mention in the scene where they're chasing, you know, it's like the great chasing underwater. They swim so fast they don't need the sharks. They swim faster than those weird mechanical sharks that they had anyway. So I'm like, why did they even
I guess to conserve energy.
I feel like they with
to sell the toy.
Yeah, the thing that the MCU did really, really well is they created the universe in which the characters lived, and you didn't just care about the character, but you cared about everything that's around them.
Yeah,
and the universe also felt real. And I know that DC is a little more fantastical, and you do have to suspend disbelief a little. But I feel like we didn't do a good job of world building and setting up the character, even though we had a previous movie, and this is the sequel. I still feel like even in the first movie, we didn't really find out exactly, like you said earlier, we don't know exactly what his powers are. Mm-hmm. We don't know, you know, exactly how he can communicate with the, you know, what, how can he use the sea life to, I don't know. But there's just so much that we don't know about the character that I don't care about him. And it's always been the joke when it comes to DC that Aquaman is kind of the character that nobody cares about because his powers are in the ocean and he can't really do much on land. Or at least that's what we thought.
Yeah. But how great would it have been if he slowly loses his power on land, yet that's what he has to, where he has to go.
Well, that's
like right. To defeat the volcano, you know, it would, they need to nerf these guys in some shape or form. There needs to be stakes. And there never is.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to defend the movie a little bit, which feels uncomfortable. They do that, right? So Patrick Wilson, the brother, is, you know, he's weakened because of the lack of water, right? So the movie is establishing these dudes need water in order to be strong, which is why he was, you know,
right.
He was Dallas Buyers Club skinny, right? They need the water, which is why as soon as he hits, you know, once that wave hits him, then he turns back into Hulk and he's fine. And then later in the movie, Patrick Wilson, again, is getting his ass kicked by the big squid monster robot thing. And he keeps trying to dive into the water so he can basically, you know, Superman get near the sun, right? He's trying to get to that water. And they won't let him. Like, she grabs him and then throws him back onto the land. So the movie is doing that. The movie is trying to show us that they do need water. And from what I read from the trivia, in the comic books, Aquaman can't survive out of water for more than an hour. Now, Justice League comes around and he's out of water the whole movie. And so he has no problem. So Justice League establishes that. Yeah, he's fine out of water because he was basically born there. So I don't know if the movies changed that lore or not. And another thing I'll defend, to Andrew's point, I don't want to go Star Wars episodes 1, 2, and 3 midichlorians and explain everything. I'm okay,
but you can be smart about it. I mean, it's pretty common knowledge when you see the guy without water, why he's, you know, but at least give us a time frame, give us something where that maybe Aquaman is starting to feel weak while he's over there and, you know, does a Popeye moment where he dumps water on himself, or, you know, just do something to show it. Do something to...
I'm just saying the world building.
No, you're not wrong. The world building is lacking. It's just just go from scene to scene to scene, and the problem is that all of the places that we visit are either unrealistic or humans have never been there underneath the polar ice caps in Antarctica, which is rock. It's Earth. So I'm confused. I'm saying the North Pole is
about grounding. I think, and grounding us in a character that, you know, the whole idea of seeing it through somebody's eyes, like we see it for the first time. You know, we kind of were in the first Aquaman. Aquaman is that, right? He's introducing us to this underwater world. Maybe somehow, you know, as the stupid scientist guy maybe was a way to ground it, or just I don't know. It was so boring. It was just,
yeah,
it was dumb. It was dumb.
Yeah.
My point was simply that I'm okay with not knowing how he summons fish and how he communicates with them. I'm okay not knowing how he does that. I don't really care. I just wish he would have done it more. I mean, when he finally did it at the end to use sonic wave powers to destroy the Hammerhead sub, I was like, oh, you finally are using that power. That there's only two things we know about Aquaman. He lives underwater and he can talk to fish. So you finally used one half of your powers that we're aware of. So good job.
Even that though, I had problems with. Like, I mean, I get what they were doing, but I feel like if you summon that many whales and orcas and, you know, all these fish, they are going to be way more powerful than the submarine combined. They could push this thing down to the bottom of the ocean if they wanted
and squish it. Yeah.
Something. But yet we just sing to it. I don't know.
Weird.
Yeah.
And blow it up.
Yeah. It was a little weird.
I see in this movie a writer's room that has run out of ideas and that was either put together way too quickly or just are not creatives like they should be.
Yeah.
I mean, I know DC has books and stories and ideas they could have taken from, and maybe they did, but I would guess that the comic books are at least a little more interesting than this one. If anything, to take visuals from to give us that wow factor, because even in some of the visuals, it just was not. The cinematography was bad. It just wasn't there to awe, inspire, or amaze us.
And this, listeners might find this, they may disagree with me. I don't know. You guys might disagree with me. But I feel like if you have to resort to 90% or more of your movie being CGI, just go ahead and make it an animated movie.
Right.
You know, like, and then you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And I honestly feel like a lot of the DCEU would have been better as an animated movie. I don't know. There's something about watching live action characters in a CGI world that it makes it hard for you to connect with it really well, unless it's done well. You know, a lot of Star Wars is CGI. The Mandalorian is not CGI, you know, but it's all done. It's not practical. Like, they're not on location. A lot of it's done in a studio. But it's all believable, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, to your point, and I'm going to expound on it. Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy. There's a lot of CGI in that. You have a tree that's not physically there, and you have a raccoon that's obviously not there either. But those characters feel real. And there, the fact also that there's actually something there, right? Even though if it is Sean Gunn pretending to be Rocket, and I don't know what they did for Groot, for the original Groot, if there was a stand-in or something. But, like, those all feel real. They feel like real things. And, yeah, we're in space. And maybe because we've seen space movies for the last 30 years, that's more believable than underwater movies. I don't know, but... I don't really want to defend this movie. I think it's a bad movie. I really do. I think it's, but I didn't hate it. I didn't hate my time. And I'm not annoyed that Andrew suggested we do this movie over the Batman. I'm fine with it. I really am fine with this. There were scenes that made me laugh. I had some laugh out loud moments.
I don't think I did at all.
I had a couple. I can't think of them right now off the top of my head for some reason. I mean, Andrew, I had way more laugh out loud moments last week with Lightning Jack, but Sam, have you ever heard of that movie, by the way, Lightning Jack?
No, I have not.
Never heard of it either. But this is one of Andrew's, like, youth guilty pleasures. And
nice.
Yeah, I'm so glad we watched it. It was fun. I had a fun time with it. So,
and it's short.
And it's short. It's an hour and a half. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I'm not saying, Zane, you should watch it, but if you have an hour and a half and you just want to know what we experienced, it.
I swear I've seen it, though.
If you like Crocodile Dundee, you'll like this. If you hate Crocodile Dundee, then you would hate this. okay. I'm going to pull clips. I pulled a few clips, so we're going to do clips here.
Okay.
But I do want to tell this fun story that has absolutely nothing to do with anything we're talking about, but I wanted to tell the story because this is something that neither one of you will be surprised that I did. This is something very me, okay? So listening to the radio on the way into work today, local radio station show called Woody and Wilcox Show. And on Wednesdays, Woody does what's called Woody Game Wednesday, and he picks whatever day, a national day of something. He picks that day and then makes a ridiculous game of it. And it's an audio game, so it's like, so today's game was the, today is the however many year anniversary of the fall of the Alamo. And Phil Collins is a huge collector of Alamo memorabilia and historical.
By the way, I was there last summer, and the museum they've got on site.
Yeah.
He has donated so much stuff to that museum.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And not only that, he voices like the voiceover and the narrations, and it's really, really cool. I had no idea, but you're right. Yeah.
He's like a super fan
contributor of Alamo stuff.
And like half the stuff that he's donated back to the museum is just stuff he found. He's just like walking around and kicks some dirt and goes, oh, look, there's a bayonet or something. Right. So the game was about, you know, famous Phils, right? And the guy plays audio famous Phils. But my point was, he's describing what the Alamo is, right? Woody is describing the Alamo, and said the Alamo is where Senator Davy Crockett, or Congressman Davy Crockett, and David Bowie, and I forgot the third guy's name, defended against the forces of Santana. And I was like, what?
Santana.
The guitar player from the 80s and 90s was the... So I message the show. I go on Facebook and I message the show, and I'm like, I know history isn't your forte, but I don't think that, let's see. I don't think that the guitar player from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, Santana, was the leader of the Mexican army. Santa Ana was, like the town that he was named for, or that was named after him. And Woody from the show messages me back. Hey, it's Woody, who went to college at Santa Ana Junior College and should know better. Do better, Woody. So the fact that someone said something incorrect history related on air and I had to correct them is obviously something that I would do. And I did. So I just wanted to share that story on air. So, all right, time for some clips. Here we go. Here's the first one.
What are we doing for comms?
Oakland comms are too risky. I'll be sending a cephalopod with you to act as a messenger.
That's an octopus.
Tactical Operations and Pursuit Operative. TOPO, for short. Genetically engineered intelligence for infiltration and espionage. He also plays a variety of musical instruments.
Just try and lay low when we get in there, okay? You might be invisible, but your hectocollis is starting to smell like warm chum butter. Oh, Topo, you dumb squid! God, come on! Is Ink piss?
So,
neither one. I did chuckle at that a little bit.
Yeah, he gets squirted in the face.
Is Ink piss?
Is Ink piss? Which he didn't get inked, but it was a funny
bit. Right.
The other thing I found interesting. So I honestly don't know this. Legit, don't know this. Do octopuses make noise?
No, they do not.
So, and I asked that question because did you guys ever see the Penguins of the Madagascar movie?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And a giant octopus is Dave, the octopus, is the main villain. And all of the other little octopuses that work for him as henchmen, they all make the noises that this octopus is making. So either that movie just made it up and this movie's copying it, or octopuses actually make that noise. I have no idea.
Legit. I mean, I'm no octopus expert, but I'm pretty sure it's not a thing.
By the way, for those who are arguing, they're saying, wait a minute, octopuses actually is a correct form, plural form of octopus. So stop saying
it's not octopi.
It can be, but octopuses is also correct. I learned that through one of the word games that Sarah plays. Anyway, here's a pop culture reference.
Come on, Castaway. Grab Wilson. Let's roll.
There you go. Grab Wilson and let's roll. Obviously, he doesn't know what that means, but it's funny to us. There you go.
Ah, see? True King build the bridges.
That's a metaphor!
Hey! I forgot to tell you! Mom says she loves you! She thinks about you all the time!
That's a metaphor. I enjoyed that. You guys can't hear me, or you can't hear.
Now we can.
Yeah, you. It's like you're when we play Fortnite, you warm up to the. All
right, so I'll play the clip and then I'll wait a second before I start talking. So, because see, my fear is that if you guys can't hear me, that means that the recording can't hear me.
Oh, really?
Because when I do YouTube, I'm just pulling from this.
That's not a good thing.
The audio podcast is fine, but for YouTube. So I will wait.
We'll fix it in post.
Yeah.
But that means I have to do work. All right.
We must be getting close to the radiation source.
You should wait for Atlantis to receive your message. We can conduct reconnaissance in the meantime.
Yeah, look, Loki, I'm not asking for your advice on this. We've already lived up to your end of the deal. So you can go on back to Azkaban for all I care.
So what's your plan?
I don't have one yet.
So we got a Loki reference and a Harry Potter reference.
Yeah.
I was surprised by the Loki reference. Harry Potter is owned by Warner Brothers, so that's not surprising. But
well, I think Loki used in the Greek god sense and not the Marvel sense, probably.
Yeah.
But knowing that, you know, Loki is pop culture by now.
Yeah. I thought that was a strange pull. Here we go.
Hey, really doesn't like you, does he?
I liked... Oh, wait.
You like Gimli?
I like Gimli. Oh, my gosh. And, I liked him. And when he said that, it reminded me of this.
I do not like you!
So it just reminded me of that. And the last one, I literally captured this one and titled it Gimli, because this is a very Gimli thing to say.
It goes all the way through.
My men and I can deal with these worms.
Go now and save the prince.
Thank you, Your Highness.
Come on, you spineless worms!
I could that sounds like Gimli. I mean, I would know it's the same actor. It's obviously John Rhys-Davies. You still can't hear me.
Yeah.
But I know it's John Rhys-Davies, but like still it's Gimli.
Yeah. So,
all right, time for this.
And now for some more bad news. Ready?
Oh boy, what kind of game does Andrew have for us today? I can't wait.
I'm watching this and I'm like, how in the heck is Andrew gonna pick things from this thing?
Yeah.
Okay, well, they're not great. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. All right, so here's number one. Who's going first?
I'll go first. Oh, yeah, this game's called Hey, Did You Notice? There we go. There you go.
Did You Notice? Yes. Sean going first here. All right, so what is the name of the boat that the pirates get on and attack there at the beginning of the movie?
I almost captured that part, too. It begins with like an S, like this. It's the Samson or the son of a bitch, something like that.
Yes, you're good. No. Sam.
It would be the Sea Beast.
All right. Well, Sean was closer. It is the Sawyer 2.
Sawyer.
Sawyer 2.
Yeah.
The Sawyer 2. All right, Sam, this is your question. While Aquaman is playing with his action figures and talking to his dad, a license plate can be seen on the wall. What does the plate read?
There's a license plate on the wall?
It reads AFK 2020.
AFK. Yeah, the visual artists were AFK, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Aloha.
It says Hunk 357.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
And it's a California license tag, just in case you're curious.
I was. Thank you.
All right. So Randall Park's character, this is your question, Sean. Randall Park's character, Dr. Stephen Quinn, does his expedition logs. He does two of them.
Yeah.
What number is the first one? He says expedition log number something, something, something.
You mean
three numbers.
You mean exposition log.
He said exposition?
No, he says expedition. I'm saying exposition because it's only there to forward the plot. He's just giving us background.
Yeah. Sorry.
Expedition log 135. Today we ate ice cream.
Yeah.
That's my answer.
Is that your number?
Yeah.
Is that your guess?
I have no idea.
All right. Sam?
I would guess, is it 463?
It is.
Ah! Wow. Good job. Good job. That's on almost our episode number. That's cool.
What was the other one? Did you write that one down?
Oh, no, I didn't write down the other one. I just remember the first one.
Because he mentioned it twice. The second one was 600 and something.
600, but, yeah.
That was another point I wanted to make. That one. I want to bring up real quick. is the henchman. Like, Randall Park is the only one that goes, hey, we're destroying the Earth, right? Like, I understand you're the boss, but, like, we're trying to kill everyone, and we don't understand why.
Yeah, what's in it for the henchmen?
And nobody else says, that's a baby that you're about to stab.
Yeah, it's very strange. They're just...
Yeah.
Like, where did he even get these henchmen? I don't understand. But
yeah. Okay. Question number four. This one's Sam's.
Okay.
How many goldfish are in the aquarium that the baby is manipulating?
You know, I was thinking of this last night. I want to say there is... Is there five goldfish?
There are five.
Yeah, I was going to say it's five because it's one.
It was either five or six. I couldn't remember. But yeah, I think the reason I said five is because I remember one in the middle.
Yeah, because they pyramided up. Yeah.
They pyramid. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you win, Sam.
Good job, Sam.
By default here. The other question literally was, and I can show you this, but I'm just going to read it. How many times did Andrew almost turn this movie off? That was the other question, literally.
Well, you did it at least once. We know that.
Well, I did, yeah, once. But I mean, there were several times, guys, that I'm going to have to be honest. Like, I wanted to just turn it off.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's the same thing over and over again. I mean, listen, I wouldn't wish this on my nearest enemy, but watching it again, you will notice just how monotonous this movie is. Yeah. With music, with action, it's not good.
No.
It's not good.
Yeah. I don't disagree. It's a bad movie, but I don't hate it as much as you guys did. But I mean, I would rather watch this again than Wonder Woman 2.
I mean, I'm not saying Wonder Woman 2 was that much better, but it at least developed some interesting ideas.
So here's a thought. There is a villain character in the DC world. His name is King Shark. Right?
Yeah.
Wasn't he in Suicide Squad?
Yeah.
He was in Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Can Aquaman control him?
I don't know if he can. He could probably talk to him, I guess.
Hey. Yeah, I don't know. I just thought about that.
I don't know. All right, yeah. Time for something. This.
Everyone!
This is where we're going to give this movie a score. Boy, this is going to be interesting. We're going to give this movie a score from 0 to 10. And, yeah, we start with Andrew. And, yeah, let's see where we go from here.
Yeah. So, from IMDb, we have a 5.7 is what our audience is saying on IMDb. I don't think I can go that high. No, I'm going to give this a 3.2 Kingfish Martin Short's character boobies out of 10. 3.2. By the way, his character in this movie really bothered me because I felt like it was stupid. And he has large breasts for a male fish.
They were awfully droopy, weren't they?
Yeah.
Sam.
I also agree with Andrew that I think I'm going to go lower than IMDb, and I'm going to give it 2.75 fish sticks out of 10.
Fish sticks. That's funny. Okay. I can't really argue with those scores. I knew they were going to be low. I mean,
this isn't rubber, right? This isn't, you know, we're not putting this in the basement, but it's getting close.
I am surprised that it didn't garner like a one from either one of you, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 3.3, just a little bit above Andrew, because I liked it a little bit more. You know, like it might have felt like I was defending this movie, and I was a little bit, but that was mostly just because I wanted to have a podcast where it wasn't just all three of us shitting on this movie the whole
bashing.
Time.
Bashing.
But it's a bad movie, but I didn't hate it. I really didn't hate it. I thought it was fine. It's just, it's bad. It's a bad movie. And I feel bad for Jason Momoa and all of the people that work in DC. It's just like, you guys deserve better. I mean, Marvel went through their bad stuff, right? They went through Fantastic Four and Fantastic Four 2 and Blade 3 and Spider-Man 3. Like, they went through that
and
stuff.
The Marvels.
That's all before the MCU.
I know.
Yeah, I haven't seen the Marvels yet. I'm looking forward to, at some point, maybe this summer. I know we have a lot of traveling going on, usually with Sam this summer, but like, we'll...
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do a Marvel month and catch up on the Marvel stuff, because there's a lot of Marvel stuff I haven't caught up on. Anyway, that's the show. That's it. That's that gives us a grand total, by the way, of 3.08.
That's about right.
So, yeah, I think that's probably a pretty fair score. And I'm scrolling back. Scrolling up. It's been a minute since we've had anything down in the threes.
Right. Yeah.
It's been,
I mean, we were kind of due to have something like this.
Yeah.
I would think.
I think we were. We've had a couple fours as I keep scrolling. Oh, here we go. The last time something beneath that was episode. Oh my goodness. I'm okay. Episode 350. And that was Thunder Force.
More than 100 ago.
Thunder Force.
It was what?
Thunder Force. We gave it Thunder a 1.94.
Thunder Force. Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah. And then before that, Star Wars Episode 2 got a 3.75. That's the last, our last two movies in the threes. So
nice.
Yeah. There we go. All right. That's it. That's our show. Thank you all so much for listening. Next week, as we continue with DCEU movies, Shazam 2. So go watch Shazam 1, so you're all familiar with what's going on, and then we'll watch Shazam 2. And yeah, but before you do all that, go to our website, cheapseatreviews.libsyn.com. There you can find links to all our social media, as well as go to our YouTube page, which would be awesome. Be like a couple of coworkers of mine and like and subscribe to the show, which would be super helpful. We could always use the extra whatever. Just, you know, leave us reviews wherever you can. It'll help the show. And that's it. That's all I have to say about that. So on behalf of Sam and Andrew and all of the fish in the sea, this is Sean saying thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you next week for Shazam 2.
Nice.
This is Cheap Seat Reviews.